This piece was brought to you by Roberta's, robertaspizza.com.
You're listening to Heritage Radio Network. We're a member-supported food radio network broadcasting over 35 weekly shows live from Bushwick, Brooklyn. Join our hosts as they lead you through the world of craft brewing, behind the scenes of the restaurant industry, inside the battle over school food, and beyond. Find us at heritageradionetwork.org.
So you don't shun the devil with your rock and roll load. Knows that country music's gonna save your soul. The devil runs his groove in them rhythm and blues that send. It's gonna get you some in the end.
Welcome back to The Speakeasy. I'm Damon Bolte.
My name is Souther Teague.
Hey, buddy. How you doing?
I'm well. Well. I'm getting better.
You have a cold?
This nasty cold that's going around. Yeah, it got me.
You're just not drinking enough whiskey.
That's untrue. I'm always drinking enough whiskey. But it just thanks, Dave. Caught me off guard. Worked an unusual Sunday night shift for the Superb Owl.
Oh, you did?
Yeah.
Why?
Because everybody knows I don't care about sports, so they made me work.
No, I thought you meant like someone hired you to work a Super Bowl party.
Oh no! I just had
like,
to work.
That sounds like my own personal hell.
Now, in the building, we had a little bit of a management change, and the two dudes who care most about the Super Bowl were going to go see the thing together, and suddenly then one of them was going to have to work if I didn't do it, so I said I'll do it.
Yeah.
Because I don't care.
Yeah. We had our company-wide...
Oh, that's right. You were closed.
Yeah, we closed a bunch of places. It was really cool. We had our holiday party at the Gutter.
The Gutter,
in
yeah.
Williamsburg, which is a big punk rock, like divey...
Love that spot.
...bowling alley.
Been a long time.
Yeah, man. It was cool. It was Grand Army, Rucola, Celestine, Black Seed Bagel, La Turtle, and the Smile.
Rolling with a posse. That's great.
It was great. It was like over 300 people. It was cool.
Holy shit.
I know.
So you took over the entire place.
It was a full buyout, yeah.
Oh, wow. Yeah, amazing.
It was awesome.
That is awesome. Do people show up for that stuff? I mean, 300 people, like, nobody wanted to see the Super Bowl? They have it playing there, though, right?
There were, like... I didn't even know this, but in the Gutter, they have like a live music room in the back.
I didn't know that either.
I've never seen shows there, but they had the big screen up and playing. They had the game on, but like there were only like five people out of like over 300 watching it, so it's kind of cool.
Yeah, that is cool.
A bunch of bars and restaurants that don't have TVs in them, you know.
Yeah.
I guess after a while, you just kind of like don't really care about watching sports anymore.
Yeah.
Anyway, yeah, it was cool.
That sounds fun. Glad you got to celebrate.
Sure did.
We're still having our holiday things usually in March, so we haven't done it yet.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Trying to find the time.
Well, if you need any help, man, let me know.
Maybe we'll do it at Grand Army.
You could. I mean.
There's only about 70 of us.
Yeah. That's right at our capacity.
Something to think about. Let's talk after the show.
Speaking of
the show, who's on the show today, Damon?
We have our buddy Alfred Kronzro in the studio.
Hello, guys.
Hello.
How are you?
To the show.
Hey,
so we have, thanks, along with you and a bunch of glasses and ice and Cointreau and tequila and lime
and
juice.
Orange wine.
Yeah, I wonder
and
where this is going.
Really, we have Kayla and Emily. Welcome to the show. Kayla, you've been on the show before.
Yes.
Yeah, welcome back.
Thank you.
Emily, it's your
one
first
of our
time.
Best
welcome.
Guests, Kayla Mata.
Cool.
The actual worst guest.
No.
Didn't you like show up late that day? Like, because
yes, 100%. That's what happened.
Yeah, well,
it was still a great show. Late today as well.
I'm sure Google Analytics would support their claim that you are popular.
Well, you're here now, so we're good to go. All right, cool. Let's get into it. Alfred, what are you doing here in the United States?
I enjoy this beautiful weather.
Okay.
Oh, man. The wintry mix today in Brooklyn.
Yeah.
So I've got a book in front of me. You have a book that you just put out called Nighttime Walks.
It's a traveling book. It's not like a classic book, you know. It's more a traveling book. And through this book, I wanted to share a part of the beautiful experiences I had all around the world. So, yeah. It's a little bit of myself, a little part of myself. I speak a little bit of my family for the introduction to explain what is this beautiful family around this beautiful, iconic bottle, Cointreau. Mm-hmm. And also through this bottle, this brand, drive me all around the world to meet bartenders, to discovering beautiful places, and to test awesome cocktails. So I wanted to share this experience with people who can read this book.
Very cool. I mean, I know that that we know a little bit about Cointreau. It's been around. I mean, I think it has legs. It'll stay around for a while. It's in, you know, some of the most iconic cocktails in history, you know, like for one being the margarita, which is actually celebrating its 70th anniversary this year.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
This month, right?
Yeah, like right now.
This year. Yeah.
Oh, this cool. year.
Well, wait, we're doing this for one a year, full, guys.
Yeah. Yeah, okay, cool.
Yeah, full year anniversary.
Yeah. Isn't National Margarita Day like the 24th of...
22nd.
22nd, yeah. Okay, cool.
Of what? Of February?
Month? Yeah.
That's a random month to pick for Margarita
I know.
Day.
It's
the
you know,
perfect month. What are you talking about?
I guess so.
Escapism. Yeah. Jinx.
Yes.
Jinx. Does that mean I can't talk for the rest? Wait, no, you can't talk for the rest of the show now. Jinx. Southern.
Perfect.
Okay, you're back.
So then why don't we start at the beginning? Tell us about Cointreau and your family and this product.
But it was born in 1849, so 169 years ago. Beautiful number.
oh, boy. we got to get out of here.
With the dream of two brothers, Edouard Jean and Adolphe. And Edouard Jean was my great-great-great-grandfather. So at the beginning in the family, we were baker. We created another specialty of France. We created La Baguette. No, I'm kidding. We didn't create La Baguette. After we became confectioner, and in 1849, with the dream of those two guys, we became a distillateur liquorist. And after, the very quick, they involved the second generation in the business, Edouard. And Edouard had the brilliant idea to work with an exotic and rare fruit, the orange. So he traveled all around the world to find oranges, sweet and bitter oranges. He was interested by the peel, not by the fruit, but more by the peel. And after 10 years of research, he perfected the recipe of Cointreau, this orange liqueur, and in the same time, he designed this iconic bottle.
Oh, yeah.
So
very cool. Yeah, and the bottle hasn't changed since the beginning, correct?
Exactly. As the recipe, it didn't change. So,
There's a really cool photo in this book at the
very
beginning.
That is the only picture you can see in this book. All the other things are draw.
So oh, yeah, all the other drawings, yeah.
Yeah. So Edouard was really good to create new recipes, new bottles, but also to promote them.
You guys know the Red Bull car? Like the girls that drive around in little cars and they've got the Red Bull.
Mm-hmm.
So your
great
grandfather pretty much invented that and had built a giant Cointreau bottle that he put on the back of a truck and like drove around the countryside in France and was like, you guys want to try some orange liqueur? It was amazing. But that's the picture that you're looking at. That's the bottle. He used to have that on the back of an automobile.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's like this cool like kiosk shaped like the bottle. It's like the Bluth banana stand.
I was thinking the same thing. Yeah. There's always money in the banana stand.
So does that make Edouard the original promo girl?
Maybe.
Yeah.
Wow.
Amazing. Yeah. And so he was a big fan of new technologies, as you say, cars, phone and stuff like that. And at the beginning of cinema, created by two French guys, Les Frères Lumière, the Brothers Lumière, he created the first commercial movie, the first advertising movie. And on this movie, you can see a beautiful lady with undress.
You guys should see it. It's super creepy, to be
it's
fair.
Super
but
creepy.
It's great, but it's...
Yeah.
It's like, so it's the first advert.
Yeah.
Amazing. Exactly. Yeah. Cointreau has the first video advert.
Well, I feel like Alfred's being very elegant about it, but let me give you some context. It's literally a lady in the background kind of like sexy dancing, and the main character...
Shimmying? That's what
shimmying,
you were just doing.
She's kind of shimmying. And then the main character is a clown, a sad clown, that has a belly full of some delicious French food and can't digest his food properly, so the...
The waiter gave to him a bottle of champagne, not appropriate for the digestion, a bottle of red wine, not good for after a good meal. So at the end, the waiter gave to this clown, the Pierrot, it's his name, a bottle of Cointreau, a huge bottle of Cointreau. So he's so happy because he had a good digestion. And so he hugs the bottle, he licks the bottle. So yeah.
Wow.
And behind him, you can find this lady.
Is that it right there?
Are we getting escorted out?
No. What was that, Dave?
No, you do not have the sounds in this. Yeah. It's really the beginning of cinema, so you just have images.
Oh,
that's it.
Yeah.
What the hell was that,
sound.
Dave?
That was just my own sound, some cartoon.
Okay, great. Okay.
Everybody relax. It's okay.
Damn it, Dave. Damn it, dumb.
I thought I was still having fevered dreams out here.
That may be true.
So...
That's really cool that he was so interested in like new technologies and forward thinking. So the brand gets born, and it travels the world, and then so do you.
Exactly. So around the neck, you can read Cointreau aux quatre coins du monde. That means Cointreau on the four corners of the world. Of course, the world doesn't have corners because it's a sphere. It's a planet, but...
It could be flat.
There are some people in America, flat, Alfred, sadly, that do not agree with you, which is... Yeah. Bumming me out, but yes, it is round.
Well, but the bottle is a square bottle, so you have four corners. So it was a play of words. And Edouard was really one of the first to give an international vision to his brand. So,
awesome.
Mm. Yeah. That's very cool. So I didn't know those things.
Yeah, right.
I always wonder why it was a square bottle.
I never really thought about it. I mean, whenever I see a square bottle, I always think about shipping. That's where square bottles kind of came from, right? Because they didn't roll around.
Well, yeah,
and also of course. You can
and
pack.
You optimize the space in the boxes.
Yeah, and they don't.
But also, do you know why it's square? It's not only for a shipping reason. It's also because through the design of this bottle, Edouard Cointreau wanted to explain us what was his philosophy when he created the recipe and what is the recipe itself. So, how many corners do you have on a square?
Four.
Yeah.
Oh, you're impressive.
Thank you.
Wake up, guys. Is it the digestion? You need a shot of Cointreau.
Yeah, maybe.
Oh, yeah, we did have all that pizza and we didn't have any Cointreau.
We're about to.
Let's have some.
Okay.
He's finished. It's just the beginning of the afternoon. So.
Why did you make me answer the four question, though?
So, the four corners, like the four ingredients of Cointreau, the water, the pure water, H2O, the alcohol, natural alcohol, 96%. The sugar, just a touch of sugar to give a smoothness. And last but not least, the oranges. So yeah, four corners to translate the four ingredients of the recipe.
Cool. See?
I like watching Emily do the math.
It's like ice math. I was like, I was going to do two, but I don't know if there's enough ice for two and to shake it. So
we're drinking these up.
Oh, there you go.
Exactly. Perfect.
That solves your ice problem.
we're working on building the bar out in here.
Yes, we've brainstormed today just before the show that Damon and I are going to finally get off our asses and build a bar here in the studio so that there's
a speakeasy.
So that we have equipment and stuff on hand because we're always drinking in here. We may as well.
We need a little freezer for ice. That's always been a thing. It's the ice.
Yeah, they make one that size.
Yeah, I know.
With this weather, you don't need a freezer.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah,
you're right, Alfred.
Go outside and get snowballs.
Cool. So
this is the worst picture ever.
That's really bad. It's like wire in your face.
I'm having a blast, guys.
Yeah.
Awesome. I hope you're having a good time, Alfred.
Listen, I'm still coming down off the NyQuil. I feel great.
So, so the product's been developed. The packaging has been designed. And then we start moving into the world of cocktails.
Yeah.
Right.
Alors, at the beginning, Cointreau in France was appreciated on a traditional way, if I can say that, more as a digestive, neat or nice. And when Edouard Cointreau started to give an international vision, he started by the north of Europe. And German people were the first to use Cointreau in the cocktail.
Oh, nice. So, cocktail, you say?
Cocktail. Yeah.
Nice. What do we have in there?
Emily, are you going to shake that cocktail or are you going to rock it to sleep?
Oh,
my God. Oh.
Thanks, Dave.
What do we have in there?
Margaritas. Where is the salt train?
I never saw you put anything in there.
Did I not? How about that?
Okay. You're speedy. I didn't see any of it. Looks awesome. Taste test.
Yeah.
Mm.
Margarita, Jesus.
Excellent. Well, some vitamin C for me. You just made two just for us? What's the matter with you guys?
We don't have any more ice. We'll just watch you.
We're good.
Is it good? Do you like it?
That seems weird. Yeah.
Here, let's split these. These are huge. Let's split them.
It's packed full of vitamin C. I'll give you that, which I need.
Rock to
so
sleep.
So actually, this is, yeah, you rocked that sucker to sleep. No, it's well emulsified. It looks nice.
Thank you.
So we're gonna sip on this margarita, but we should probably take a quick break to hear from our sponsors, and we'll come back and talk more to the team from Cointreau about this delicious product. And iconic.
Whee!
Town for far, far too long. Just give me a ship and cover my head, and I'll say that nothing is wrong. Oh, but I love you, Brooklyn. You've been like a mother to me.
My name is Brandon Hoy, co-owner of Roberta's, a super duper awesome place. Roberta's is a very, 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 very proud sponsor of the Heritage Radio Network. We're also super awesome. Thank you, Heritage.
And we are back. You're listening. That's Brendan from Roberta's, man. He's awesome. He does the best commercials.
He's super awesome, apparently.
He's super duper awesome.
So just before to break, you say Cointreau, it's iconic.
It's iconic.
And do you know what is the anagram of Cointreau? But do you know what is an anagram?
An anagram
is when you take the letters.
Yeah, radar.
What?
Radar.
Radar?
Yeah.
That's a palindrome.
Okay.
Ooh, it is. It's so both.
So an anagram is when you take the letters of one word and you change the letters and you find another word.
So
what is the anagram of Cointreau?
Iconic.
And you have it's a tip. Iconic, it can help you.
Yeah, what's that?
It's a true icon.
True icon. Is that the tattoo that you're getting in this photo?
No. No, I do not have the true icon tattoo. Not yet. But
that's a duck. It's just a
no,
duck.
No, a few, yeah.
Oh, that tattoo?
Yeah.
A duck.
It's a duck.
What are you talking about? The 1806 on his arm on the back cover?
Yeah, 18... 1806.
There you go.
That is a
beautiful
tattoo. On the front, I have the Pierrot.
Yeah.
And other way, I have the duck, because the noise of the duck is a coin coin in France. So the first letters of Cointreau. So my nickname is France in French is a coin coin. So voilà.
That's so cute.
Quack quack.
Quack quack.
I
so
did
yeah.
Not know that.
That's as long as we're seamlessly getting in key messaging, I would like to point out that, speaking of labels, that Cointreau is actually 80 proof. And that's like the number one thing I love to tell bartenders, love to tell everybody. They don't realize that it's unusual for a liqueur that has the sugar content that we do to have that high of a proof. So I do think that's why it is delicious in a margarita, because you're not sacrificing proof, you're retaining the balance but and the citrus flavor, but you're still, that's the sugar content of the drink. So.
Cool.
Worth pointing out.
So you can use it as a base spirit.
You could if you want to have a hangover, but yes, it's delightful. But it is still a liqueur. There is.
Hey, it's going to happen either way.
Yeah, fair enough. but yeah, I mean, it's 80 proof. I think a lot of people don't know that. So.
Very cool.
Yeah, I don't think I knew that. Yeah.
So we are having margaritas.
Yeah.
An original margarita, created in 1948.
Look at that.
By
check
what
Margarita Sames, okay. Dallas Socialite.
Yeah, no. Created by Margaret Sames, she organized a beautiful party in her villa in Acapulco, and to welcome her guests, her friends, she wanted to create a cocktail with her two favorite alcoholic beverage, Cointreau and tequila. And the guest gave the Spanish name, the Spanish version of Margaret, Margarita. So.
Cool.
Yeah. In Acapulco?
In Acapulco.
That's the story. Some Richie Rich in her villa. Oh, yeah.
Some Richie Rich in her villa. Cole kicking it in Acapulco.
So,
well, it's delicious.
From there, so that's 1948. So where does the margarita move from there? Literally everywhere, right? How did it? Was there? Was it a marketing
campaign? Still maintains its mantle as number one ordered cocktail in America.
In the world.
Is it the world?
Yes. Yeah. It's the most popular cocktail in the world.
But like the, say like the Moscow Mule, which was popularized by the like advertisement of the recipe from both the Ginger Beer Company and from Smirnoff. Was this something that came about as, did it spread because of an advertisement campaign from like Cointreau?
No, we never push. We never did a global advertising campaign about the margarita. It's when it's good and it's...
No reprisal of the sad clown?
No, it's really, it's a beautiful and delightful cocktail. So naturally, it exports itself everywhere around the world. So we never pushed a lot.
Just
the margarita,
line.
It was...
I'm not trying to sound like a corporate hack, but like it is an exercise in balance, right? Mm-hmm. Like it's such a simple cocktail, but it's so easy to mess up. And... you know, if you hit the note of like the strong base spirit, the citrus, the sweet, like, and you do it right, like, it's easy. It's easy to replicate. You can do it at home, whatever. Yeah. Like, I feel like.
I mean, I think I would actually kind of go against you on that. I don't think that it is that easy to fuck up. I think it's hard to fuck up. This is one of those drinks that's made out of metal. Like, if you've got the ingredients, it's going to be good.
No, I think it's a proportions thing. Like, yes, I agree with you that the raw materials need to be like delightful. Hence why you need to be using Cointreau and not some bullshit, but like. But like I think if it was so easy or if it wasn't easy to mess up, then why, if we could walk into so many bars and get a bad one all the time, like
you lived in Dallas.
Yes, I know all about bad margaritas.
Yeah, I mean, same.
I mean, they pull out that sour mix. It's like neon green,
right.
And you're
again,
like
wrong ingredients.
For sure. But like,
but if there's lime juice, Cointreau, and tequila involved, I think it's a pretty metal cocktail.
It's Cointreau, tequila, and lime juice.
Fair enough. I agree with you that it's hard to mess up if you're willing to have good ingredients that you're starting with.
Yeah, bad in, bad out.
Yeah.
I'm just saying that, like, there's a few cocktails that come to mind for me that are like, I call them, they're metal. They're made of metal. Like, you can put the balance totally wrong on a Manhattan and it'll still be a good Manhattan. Like, it's made of metal.
Should I make you a bad margarita to, like, figure this out? With the same margarita, like, the same.
Ooh, challenge.
Uh-oh.
I don't want to drink a bad margarita. I've had too many in my life.
Dave will drink it.
Oh, thanks for volunteering me.
You're welcome. You're like our garbage disposal.
So how do you feel about like just in the world of like say gin martinis? How do you feel about variations on the margarita, like different flavored margaritas?
Yeah, after it's a classic cocktail, it's a base of cocktail and should be an inspiration to creating new things. But if you want to give the name of margarita, you need to have the three initial ingredients. And after, you can add whatever you want, ginger, honey, or whatever. But if you put, for example, just tequila, agave syrup, and lime, it's not a margarita.
Tommy's margarita?
It's just a Tommy's. That's it.
Yeah.
Tommy burn. Burn. Do we have a sound for that, Dave?
Whoosh.
Dave's got it all, man.
Dang,
Dave.
No, but after...
Don't test me.
After his... It's great if the margarita can be an inspiration for bartenders today and to create a new things.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. I think there are certain cocktails that are just, they are a platform to build upon. They have a foundation. Things like, obviously, like I said, for the martini, I think the Negroni is one of them. Obviously, the Manhattan is. But one thing I don't like about the margarita, I don't like salt on the rim, man.
That's fine.
You do or you don't?
I don't. I understand why the salt makes sense for the drink because it, like you were saying before the show, anytime you add sugar or salt to a dish or to a drink, it's a palate stimulator and you taste more of the other flavors in the cocktail. But I don't know. I've just never been. Well, also, growing up in Oklahoma, they have that thing with the sponge and it's got lime juice in it.
and then they dunk
the whole glass and it's like an inch thick. Like
on the inside and the outside. Yeah, that's kind of gross.
I mean, it should be a half rim, right?
Always half. That's why when
I'm
going to
do it, it's always half.
Always half rim.
That way there's a choice for the drinker.
Exactly.
But also, what do you feel about saline solution in the drink? That's more modern.
I'd like that.
Yeah, that's what we do.
Chad Solomon is listening somewhere and going,
"So,
ooh."
So you put the salt directly in the liquid?
Yeah, we would have like a 80% water, 20% salt solution.
Like, okay.
A couple drops.
Good.
You know, we do that to a lot of drinks, not just margarita, but
not just citrus drinks.
Yeah, exactly.
Stir drinks.
Yeah, sure. A couple drops of salt in the Negroni, kill it.
Yeah. It's great.
Yeah, kill it.
Ooh, yeah, you're right.
Salty
Negroni.
You're
right.
Yeah, you're right. yeah, this is no. Well, okay, we can agree to disagree. I think that if all the right pieces are there, I think it's kind of hard to get it too far out of whack.
But I think that most people don't have the right pieces to begin with. Is I guess my point.
Right. Well. So. Okay.
What would you say that the main one that's missing? It'd be fresh lime juice, right?
It'd be.
Because I feel like Cointreau is everywhere.
Well, no, you'd be shocked. Like it should be. I think. Yes, obviously fresh ingredients is key, but since it's a modifier, I think a lot of people think from a cost perspective or whatever, like, oh, I can swap it out and it won't be a big deal. Nobody will miss it. And it's a huge deal, you know? So we were talking about earlier at Food & Wine, like, I just think it's crazy. You go to these nice restaurants that don't cut corners, that have, like, heritage kale and all this bullshit, and, like, but then they use, like, some nasty modifier, you know, and with, like, artificial ingredients in their cocktails. And you're like, I don't understand. I don't know. I feel like this is, like, a stale idea that obviously you should have a culinary perspective on your beverages that you do on your
there doesn't even have to be culinary, it just has to be same.
Yeah
If
you're gonna serve anything, make it great. If you're gonna serve coffee, make it great.
But I've eaten at lots of really nice restaurants that like use gross modifiers, and it's a bummer.
There's only one liqueur that I use behind the bar that is the cheap version because I think it's better. And that's blue curacao. I get like Takaiper or something like that. But you made Cointreau Noir, right?
Yeah.
That was based with cognac, yeah?
No, it's based of Cointreau. It's 70% of Cointreau with 30% of cognac.
Right.
And maceration of walnuts and almonds.
So that was the difference. And it came in a gold bottle. You still make it?
Yeah. Oh,
okay,
course.
Cool.
There's some blue dye in there. There you go.
Not in the gold bottle was the first version, and you have one. Keep it because it's collector now.
I'm just saying. If you guys really want to become a successful company, maybe you make Cointreau blue. I'm just saying.
Yeah. No, but at the beginning, the curacao, the blue curacao, people used, the bartender used Cointreau, and they add artificial blue color inside.
Yeah. Cool.
So that after it's a famous brand from New Zealand. Netherlands, who created the blue curacao in a bottle, but at the beginning, bartender used Cointreau with the color. So
I think it's worth noting that a lot of people actually don't realize that. So Cointreau is a triple sec. It invented the category, blah, blah, blah. That's a different story. But like triple sec and curacao are two totally different categories, which most people don't realize. So I don't know if you want to talk about the differences. But
explain the difference.
Yeah. I would love for...
But at the beginning, when the orange liqueur were created, it was called a curacao. Because the oranges came from Curaçao Island. If someone looking for a job in Curaçao.
Oh, yeah.
So, talk after the show.
So the Curaçao was great, but it didn't taste orange. It was in a brandy base with a low proof and with a high rate of sugar. So the brandy and the sugar mask the orange flavors. So Edouard Cointreau had the idea to create a better orange liqueur than the curacao. So when he perfected his recipe after 10 years of research, he gave the name of triple sec. And through those two words, he wanted to explain us what was inside. Triple, three times more concentrated, with a selection of the best orange peels and with a specific distillation process. At the end, he had an alkylate three times more concentrated in orange flavors. And sec means dry with less sugar. So because the more you add sugar in your liqueur, the more you want to mask the poor quality of the ingredient. So Edouard Cointreau wanted to highlight the orange flavors of his recipe.
So basically, three times the orange and drier than curacao.
And a neutral spirit base.
Yeah.
And way higher content of essential oils.
Three times brew, three times the orange influence, and then drier.
Yes.
Yeah.
I think the point is like that Edouard, you know, when he... So Alfred's official title is our global heritage manager. So he, you know, spends a lot of time in the archives doing a lot of research and just like... obviously embodying the brand, but also preserving, you know, the heritage of the brand. And one of the things that he uncovered is that, you know, when 1849, when the distillery opened, like, oranges were the most exotic flavor anyone could think of. So everyone was making orange curacao. Cointreau, to be on trend, was like, we should do that too. But I think the thinking with someone like Edouard was that it wasn't about making something commercially that would be successful. It was like the question of, like, what is the apex of what an orange liqueur can be? So they kept changing it mm-hmm. until they were like, shit, I think I have something totally new, which I think is interesting.
Isn't it crazy to think that, you know, 170 years ago, that oranges were, like, that exotic?
It was like the matcha of its time.
It was a gift for Christmas, a beautiful gift for Christmas was an orange.
And we take it for granted these days.
Yeah, you know? Of course. I mean...
And when you look in the history of France, when you had a king, the king had they had a castle, and close of the castle, they had an orangerie. It was a house where they put the orange trees. And the more you had orange trees, the more you were powerful, you know? Today, when you have a nice car, a nice
watch, it's a status symbol. Yeah.
Exactly. So in this time, it was the orange trees, the golden fruit trees. That was the name of the orange trees.
Golden fruit, yellow browns, they call them. The yellow reds, sorry. Yellow reds. Before the word orange existed, they called them yellow reds.
Yellow reds.
Then they created the word orange for the fruit.
Really? Okay.
Crazy. Etymology.
Yellow red, okay. Look at and that gives the name to the color. The fruit gives the name to the color. So.
So
how does it, red, I mean, do you roll around like, I mean, you're like sort of royalty.
No. So you brought up kings, right?
Nah. Yeah, you got a lot of oranges in your life. So... I mean,
we're drinking orange wine too.
Yeah, right.
Was that planned out?
P.S. Look at his socks.
I know. I can't stop looking at his socks.
Yeah, they're right there in your face.
I can't stop.
Now he's hiding them. I'm making him nervous. So I mean, but like you're what generation are you at this point?
The sixth.
You're the sixth generation of this iconic brand, and you carry its name. Like you're sort of royalty in the.
I'm not a royalty. Huh? I am a cool guy, more or less. Is that like so modest?
So he actually, his siblings and cousins are not in the business. So Alfred's actually unique in that way that he fought to be part of this company.
I am
company.
Unique. Oh, yeah. Thank you.
Well, you're very unique, but that's another discussion. But
what do you mean you fought to be in it? Your siblings didn't want to be a part of it?
No, it's if you want to join the family business, it has to be a personal choice. We do not put pressure on the shoulders. And we encourage to go to see other things. And if you want to join, it has to be a personal choice. So today, from the sixth generation, I am the only one who decided to take care of these beautiful, iconic bottles. Maybe one day one of my cousin, my brother, my sister will join. And maybe after the seventh generation, we'll do it. So.
It's kind of like being Amish. It's a Rumspringa.
Yeah, that's what I was just about to say. I was about to say the same thing. You and I, we're together today.
Yeah, I'm insane.
You on NyQuil too? Love it.
I'm always on NyQuil.
Hopped up on NyQuil and Tide Pods.
NyQuil on the
race. So you were encouraged to go out and get schooling and get see the world and understand other things.
I was a perfect pupil.
And then you look at. and then you came back to the family and said, no, you know what? I've gone and looked around. I want to do this.
Before I did different stuff, I worked for copy system, advertising department of a newspaper, a lot of stuff like that. And I wanted to have a passion to kick my ass out of my bed every morning, you know. And every morning I saw my father to go to his garage with a smile. Because when my father was younger, he went to the distillery, but he didn't go in the pot still room. He went in the garage where we had a guy who fixed the trucks and the cars of the sales teams, etc. So he became passionate about engine and vintage cars. So from his passion, he did his job. And also I saw my grandfather until the end of his life. He passed away when he had 90 years old. 69 years in the company. Beautiful number.
Beautiful number.
But during 69 years, he went with a smile and with passion in his office. So I wanted to have the same in my job. So and when I decided to join the family business, I never had regrets. So yeah. And I really like it. And when I started, I spent 1 year at the distillery to meet everybody, all the employees, to start at the selection of the oranges to the pot still room until the bottling line. And in 1 year at the distillery, I learned more than 5 years at school.
Yeah, of course.
So it was like an apprenticeship.
Yeah. Total immersion.
And you started from what you said, selection of oranges all the way through bottling.
Yeah, exactly.
So you saw the
because
whole thing.
When you are on Fred Cointreau, you can say, I don't know about a question around this brand. So
Yeah, you need to have the answer, right?
Very cool.
So then, all right, now you did all that, and then you traveled around a lot. And
exactly.
You wrote this book.
In this book, I wanted to share...
Which every single page has a different name of a city.
Yeah. So in each page, each cities, you can see a place, so should be a bar or not. Mm-hmm. You can see someone, should be a person, I mean, should be a bartender or not, or you can see a cocktail. So I describe everything when I met this person, when I went in this place, or when I tasted this cocktail with a nice draw. I hope they are nice.
And this is your art?
No, unfortunately, okay. No. and at the end, you can find the address of those places, so you can have your own experience through the experience I already had. So
what was that Charles Baker book, like Jigger, Beaker, Flask,
yep.
Around the World? Mm-hmm. I feel like this is like that, but a little Franglishy and more funny. It's great.
Well, it looks charming. It's got these really beautiful hand-drawn illustrations.
Yeah.
And then, like I said, I'm just sort of thumbing through it right now. We just got it before the show, so I haven't had a chance to look at it. But each page is a different city, sometimes different countries.
Exactly.
I like it because it looks like journal entries almost, because the drawings are, you know, more rustic, and it's like very much, it sounds like you talking. You know, it sounds like just like
that
your
was
memory.
The objective.
Yeah.
So that is the first book. I would like to write three more because number four is really, really important.
Four corners.
Yeah. Very cool.
Square bottle, four corners.
Exactly.
I'm paying attention.
Yeah.
NyQuil.
The anagram of Cointreau, what is it?
True icon.
Icons.
A true icon, yeah.
Yes, there you go.
See you. Yeah, Dave!
I'm paying attention the whole time.
Dave's a real star on this thing. I didn't realize that he was the brains behind this operation, guys.
He's the hamster on the wheel that keeps the thing running.
Oh my gosh.
It's very cool. It's kind of anecdotal. It's like you said, it's like journal entries. It's just a fun book. It's like this is like you said before the show that like on the front cover it's you standing at a bar with a full drink, and then on the back cover the drink is empty. So you should start with the drink and then finish the drink by the time you get, and it's a short, quick read, but it's kind of like a travel companion, you know, like when you're on the road and you just like blast through this, and
that was intentional, like, right? That was
intentional.
Like he made it that size to like it's easy in a carry-on, like
totally cool.
So Alfred, do you want to tell these guys our plan for your US tour, because we're just kicking it off? We're on day two right now.
Day two.
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know.
I am already tired.
Yeah,
rockstar tour. Yeah, so when did you get here?
I arrived on Monday. I landed on Monday afternoon,
straight from France.
Straight from Paris.
Yeah.
We had dinner with another icon, Toby Ciccini, who's amazing, obviously. And lovely dinner with him. We were at the Nomad that night, and then we ended up at Long Island Bar the next day, which was
yesterday.
Oh my God. But it was just like so comfortable, and everyone was so happy, and like we were having so much fun with him, and like
we
everyone
didn't want
it was
to
just
move.
It was difficult to leave. Yeah. Like, so we're all tired today, but lots more to see.
Well, I hope you have your energy.
What what spots are on the tour? New York City, then what?
Dallas after.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
After New Orleans.
Yes. We are actually going to Mardi Gras, and we are dressing as Pierrot, that creepy clown. And we have an army of bartenders that are going to
carry on a bottle that you lick.
Yep. You got it. Going to be great.
and we finish to San Fran, at San Fran.
Cool.
So Dallas, New Orleans, San Francisco. Not a crazy schedule, it doesn't sound like. Mardi Gras is going to be insane, though. Have you ever been?
I never gone. I already gone to New Orleans for Tales of Cocktail. So it was crazy.
Yeah.
It's crazy during Tales of Cocktail.
But everybody ain't seen nothing yet, pal.
Yeah. Everybody told me
I lived in New Orleans for 3 years.
I'm from South Louisiana. That's awesome.
I will see that.
Yeah, man. Well, but immediately after this, we're actually going to go to Grand Army.
Woo!
And have some Cointreau cocktails.
Yay. Sounds awesome.
Yeah, so we're going to be hanging out.
I wish I could
God damn it, Dave. You're so good.
So we're going to be featuring some Cointreau and Cointreau, Remy Cointreau products today from 5 to 7 at Grand Army and hanging out with Alfred and Emily and Kayla, having some drinks. We'll have the book there to check out, and yeah, be a good time. We'll get you back on the horse, you know?
Yeah. We need it.
After crushing it with Toby last night at Long Island Bar.
Yeah.
Easy to do. It was awesome.
It is easy to do.
All right, cool, man. That's about it for the show today. What do we got coming up, Souther?
Let me take a look. We have upcoming shows include, but aren't limited to, Sam Ross from Attaboy. Maggie.
Never heard of him.
Yeah, Maggie.
Just kidding, sorry.
He's a kid from Australia. Again, another plucky little bar. I hope they make it. Maggie Hoffman's going to be on to talk about her new book called One Bottle Cocktails. We've got Rob Morton's going to be on from Critical Mass to talk about how a company makes and produces big events. He's a big event drink maker.
Yeah. Like,
okay. We make cocktails by the, I don't know,
well,
one, by the one like at a time. Yeah. We also make cocktails maybe on a heavy service night by the batch of a liter bottle, but he makes cocktails on a scale of the tens of thousands.
That's crazy.
I'm just curious to know how the fuck that happens.
Yeah.
Yeah.
When I deal with a room that's 240 square feet and he's dealing with 240,000 people.
That's insane.
It's just insanity. So those are upcoming shows and many more like them that we're getting lined up. So please stay tuned and take a listen. I'd like to just throw in one quick plug for my buddies. I forgot to mention at the top of the show, on Super Bowl Sunday, I got to hang out with them. They came into the complex and I took them all around. It was Ed Rudisell and Arthur Black. They have a podcast called Shift Drink. They're from Indianapolis. I don't know if you've listened to it, Damon, but yeah, it's a great podcast.
It's a great name for a podcast.
Yeah, it's a great podcast. Similar to ours, in fact, in how they approach the guest as sort of like after hours. You're getting a chance to listen to them while they have their shift drink. That's the name of their story. But they do a little bit more editing and polishing, so a little cleaner than us. But a great show, and those dudes were really awesome, and I'm really glad I got to hang out with them. Anyway, that's all I've got with my drug-addled brain today.
You're doing great, buddy. You're
Thanks,
doing
great. Man.
I guess that wraps up today. Please support this family. They're trying to make it with this product called Cointreau.
This scrappy little operation.
Yeah.
Got some car washes and bake sales coming up, guys. If you could show up, please.
We got a Kickstarter. Anyway,
Indiegogo.
But thanks again for coming on the show today.
Thanks for welcoming us.
Yeah,
it's really appreciate.
There's a lot of stuff that I learned today that I didn't know back when.
Me too.
So that's always the best kind of show.
Yep.
And I can't wait to go have some happy hour drinks with you guys.
Right.
Yeah. All right. So that's it for the Speakeasy this week. Check out Heritage Radio Network for many more programs like this one, and click on the beating heart to donate to the station so we can keep on keeping on. Till next week. Cheers, y'all.
Cheers, guys. Cheers.
So you don't shun the devil with your rock and roll load. Knows that country music's gonna save your soul. The devil runs his groove in them rhythm and blues that sin. It's gonna get you some in the end.
Thanks for listening to Heritage Radio Network, food radio supported by you. For our freshest content and to hear about exclusive events, subscribe to our newsletter. Enter your email at the bottom of our website, heritageradionetwork.org. Connect with us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at heritage_radio. Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization driving conversations to make the world a better, fairer, more delicious place. And we couldn't do it without support from listeners like you. Want to be a part of the food world's most innovative community? Rate the shows you like, tell your friends, and please, join our community by becoming a member. Just click on the beating heart at the top right of our homepage. Thanks for listening.